Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
This week's story of the week is AJ Jacobs and his story, Party Like It's 1789, My Weird and Enlightening Month, Living Strictly by the Constitution. Back in the late 1990s, I had this tremendous idea. More importantly, I had an expense account. So I invited this group of journalists to an overpriced restaurant in Midtown Manhattan. And these were journalists who wrote first-person stories in which they did incredibly stupid things just for attention. My people. I called it the Stunt Journalist Association. One of the members was AJ Jacobs, who'd go on to be the most successful stunt journalist of our time. AJ was brave in ways that, honestly, I couldn't imagine. Like, while I was earning my first Boy Scout badge at age 36, AJ wrote an article called I Think You're Fat, in which he embraced the practice of radical honesty. In another one, he outsourced his entire life to an assistant in India who read his kids his bedtime stories and argued with his wife for him. So I wasn't at all surprised when AJ decided to live as strictly as possible according to the rules of the U.S. Constitution.
Writing is hard. Who's got that kind of time when you're already busy trying to be Joel Stein? So he turns on a mic, maybe twiddles a knob, calls a journalist friend who's got an actual job. Auditory, single story, just listen to smart people speak. Conversation filled with information, it's the story of the week.
AJ Jacobs, the nicest man in journalism. Thank you for being on this podcast.
Are you kidding? Thank you, Joel.
Oh my God, of course you would say that. That's very AJ. Okay, so you've lived according to the rules of the Bible. Now you're going to live according to the rules of the Constitution. Now, what gave you this idea?
I had actually had this idea for a long time because I did the book Living by the Rules of the Bible, which was very similar. It was sort of taking literalism to the extreme and showing
You grew a beard that was incredible looking. You went to the park. I remember. I love this book. You went to the park and stoned someone.
I did. Small stones, though. I didn't actually, you know.
Yeah. You wimped out a little bit, but still.
Right. And it says you should not wear clothes of two different kinds of fabrics. That's in Leviticus. So I had to get rid of my polycotton blends. So I'd always thought that the similar approach could work with the Constitution because it's same debate about originalism following the literal words of the original founders versus this living constitution, the evolving meaning.
And people have a religious kind of feeling about that document. People talk about it in very reverential tones.
Absolutely. It's sacred.
Sacred. That's the word. Yeah. There are two main ways to interpret the Constitution. There's originalism, where you just stick to what the words on the page mean. Generally, conservatives prefer this kind of just following orders style. Liberals, with their desperate need to embrace the newest trend, prefer a style called pragmatism. That's where you figure out how the idea behind the words can be applied to issues that didn't exist back then. For instance, the phrase in the Constitution, which is my favorite, which is the fact that Congress can grant letters of marque and reprisal, which literally means they can pay pirates to fight for them, has been used today to mean that the government can hire hackers to attack cyber criminals. What made you finally decide to do this?
Yeah, I never really had the passion to pursue it. And then came this last Supreme Court term, and that scared me. That freaked me out because they really went hard on originalism in a scary way. And they overturned Roe v. Wade.
I'm learning so much on this podcast.
It's a news show, too.
Oh, my God.
That's why. But it also, the gun rights, it also affected the environmental in ways that we can get into. Their originalism is having a huge impact on millions of lives. And I thought, okay, maybe I should.
What's the First Amendment you take on in the article?
It opens with a scene of me carrying my 1795 musket around New York City, which was a weird experience.
Okay, so this is the first thing that you tackle is the Second Amendment, which is the right to bear arms.
Right. So, yes. And in my view, if you are truly an originalist, then you should follow what the original meaning of bearing arms was in 1791. And so I thought, I got to get myself a musket. I could have gotten a fake musket, but I wanted a real musket. Bought it online, antiquefirearms.com in Texas. You know, I said, does this work? And they said, yes, but we strongly recommend you do not use it. And I said, well, why not? And they said, well, it might lead to a catastrophic failure.
Oh.
And I said, That doesn't sound good. It just means, they explained, it blows up in my face.
Is it literally 200 years old or it's a replica?
No, it's real. It's 1795.
Like, what?
It was used. Yeah. It was expensive. It was like $2,000.
You walk around New York City and for reasons that have to do with your own personal psychology, you put on the full Revolutionary War garb, right? Like you've got...
I did. I had the tricorn hat. It was a Hamilton costume that I got online. And it was hilarious to see the reaction. I mean, because I spent some time in Times Square. Oof. And I was just one of like 200 people who were dressed up. And, you know, a Spider-Man came up to me and did like a little fist bump.
Oh, nice.
And he was like, "Arr, matey." And I'm like, "I'm not a pirate. I'm a founding father." And he's like, "Arr, matey." But the reaction was, it was very mixed. You know, some people were like, "Oh, that's amazing. That's so cool." And then there were people who were like, "What the hell? You know, what are you doing?" It did come in handy because I went into a coffee shop and the guy in front of me in line was like, "You go ahead." So it does have its advantages.
You carry around a gun and it makes people uncomfortable.
Yeah, but it was weird the way it affected me. When I was carrying it around, I actually had this like surge of power, like I'm carrying a gun. I am really, which was like very bizarre and unsettling.
Then you took on the First Amendment.
I did.
But you did it in a way that I'd never thought about before, which is you looked at what free speech meant back in 1789.
Right. So I decided I would only follow the First Amendment, my right to free speech, as they did it in 1789. So I bought some parchment and...
Did you buy actual parchment?
No, it's more yellow, like yellow. It's not actual pigskin or anything.
That's right.
Anything
you know a lot about parchment. Yeah. It's actual skin that's been stretched really thin, right?
Right. So that was not... But I did buy a real feather pen and real ink, and I wrote, I wrote my tweets, so I sort of copied my tweets onto the parchment paper, and I handed them out in Times Square. And it was very, you know, I got, again, a mixed reaction. A lot of people avoided eye contact.
And so there's a guy in a tri-cornered hat with a musket.
Right.
Handing these pieces of paper out to people. I would think that most people would avoid you.
There was, I would say, 60, 70% avoidance.
That's not bad.
Well, yeah, I was happy with, you know, there were the people who responded. A lot of them were tourists who didn't speak English, okay, who thought that they were getting something for free.
Yeah, well, they were.
They were getting my tweets, yeah. But I will say the other part of the First Amendment I found perhaps even more interesting, which was that I read a couple of books about the First Amendment as it was seen then, and it was much more restrictive. Like, we had blasphemy laws in some states. There was someone put in jail for blasphemy, I think in the 1820s, maybe even 1830. So for blasphemy in the United States, which is insane. And also, they were much more restrictive about criticizing the government.
So you then said, well, you can't just say whatever you want. Clearly, in 1789, the First Amendment didn't give us the right to say whatever we wanted. So then you imposed those rules on your own family.
I did. I told my kids they could not say, you know, a blaspheme. They couldn't say goddamn. And I also went on Twitter. I started a Twitter account as called Original Dude 1789. And I would scold people who were making seditious comments on both sides. So someone who was saying, you know, Biden is a traitor, I would say, under the original meaning of the First Amendment, this is seditious, please remove.
And what would people say in return?
They either ignored me, or I got one LFMAO, whatever dude was the response.
Oh,
they did not take me seriously, which is a shame.
And then to punish your child for blaspheming, you bought a pillory.
Right, a pillory is that wooden contraption where you put your arms in and you put your head in, and you're locked in, and people will throw things at you or tickle, if you read the history of pillorying.
Is that right? Like,
yeah, tickling was part of the the punishment.
It's like a double fetish. Wow.
Really, it's great. Well, that's the thing. When I Googled, like, I want to buy a pillory, I found a lot of websites that, as I say in the article, would not have passed the obscenity laws of the 1780s. But there, I was able to find one.
Well, but if you had gone to like an S&M site and bought a pillory, they're also not cheap, I assume.
No, it's true. They were a few hundred, and I didn't have the budget.
Okay.
And I did learn a lot about the difference between stocks and pillory, I think.
Oh, what is the difference?
I think stocks, the legs have holes for legs as well.
Oh.
But they had all sorts of horrible punishment. I mean, it goes along.
So if you want to save money, you pillory instead of stock.
Right. It is a more efficient way if you don't have the wood.
So the pillory thing is also the eighth Amendment says that there can't be any cruel and unusual punishment.
Right. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted.
So the Eighth Amendment says you cannot commit cruel and unusual punishment.
Right.
The things were cruel and unusual. I mean, death penalty, no big deal. Pillorying stocks, no big deal. Tickling people, apparently, no big deal.
Exactly. And that is used by originalists because at the time of the signing of those amendments, the death penalty was perfectly fine.
What was the hardest or like the most uncomfortable amendment to follow?
Well, the awkward ones were that, and there was another awkward one because, of course, the people who wrote the Constitution were incredibly sexist. So I had to deal with sexism, and that made me sweat. And Scalia argued this. Antonin Scalia said that the 14th Amendment, which guarantees equal protection, does not apply to gender. It applied to black people getting
the
vote.
Well, that's written before women get the vote. So
right, it's before women get the vote, but it also doesn't apply to their careers. So women, at the time, there were a lot of laws. Women could not sign contracts in some states. There were a lot of careers they couldn't do. Women in Michigan, I remember, they couldn't be bartenders unless their husband was a bartender. You know, I figured that I should at least try to live by this. The one that made me sweat was that many states would not allow women to be lawyers. And the lawyer who does my books is a woman. So I wrote her a note like, you know, nothing personal, but during this experiment, I cannot deal with you on legal matters, but I'll deal with any male colleagues of yours. And I felt like such a dick sending it. And then she didn't respond for like 2 days. And I was like, oh, damn it. Like, did this really, was this a horrible thing to do? And then like, she's like, oh, that was funny. I got it. So, but for those 2 days, it was really unpleasant.
Did that give you empathy for Mike Pence, who has to send out that email like 5 times a day?
I have a lot of trouble having empathy for my. But then, of course, he saved our country. So, you know,
kind of. I don't know.
So anyway, yes. So if you take a true originalist interpretation, then interracial marriage is not guaranteed. And my sister is married to a man who is part indigenous and part Latino from Peru. So I called her. And it was one of the most awkward conversations of
my life.
How do
you start that one?
Well, I said, she's always supportive of my writing career. So I kind of pitched it that way. Like,
I always start with, I'm working on an article.
Right. I didn't say I disapprove of your marriage. I was like, for this article to prove my point, I think that your marriage would not be legal in many states. And then I paused and there was awkward silence. And she said, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'll give you back the wine glasses that you gave me for my wedding. How's that? And I was like, that sounds good. And she's like, all right, I'll send it. And she's like, why am I sending them? Like, if you want to do this horrible thing, you pick them up. And I never did pick them up.
Is there anything in the original Constitution that says that when your sister gets married, you have to buy them a nice gift and not just wine glasses?
Well, they were nice wine glasses.
Jeez, it's your sister. Don't be like AJ. Buy something nice for your sister's wedding. Perhaps something you're about to hear about from our sponsors.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at tmobile.com/now.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb. Tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Living according to the Constitution isn't easy. And not just because it requires reading the thing. It's because, unlike the Bible, the Constitution isn't a set of rules for what Americans can do. There's no, thou shalt play football despite concussions. The Constitution is a set of rules for what the government should do. After the obvious rules that do directly affect people, free speech and guns, AJ had to dig a lot deeper. He found Section 8, Clause 18, which says that only Congress can make laws, which, if read literally, could change a lot of how we do things.
So when the EPA or the FDA makes regulations, they argue these are actually laws, and this is not good. So in a totally originalist world, the FDA and EPA would have practically no power.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I were going to live in this world, I could not trust what came out of my tap, because there would be no clean water legislation. So I got water out of the pond at Central Park, and I used a
life straw.
I didn't use a life straw, but similar, same idea. Yeah,
so you filtered the water from the pond at Central Park,
which was crazy. Like, it is literally like fluorescent green because there are algal blooms in there. So I literally had like half a sip, and I was still up all night worrying that I had poisoned myself. God. But I felt I had to.
You decided to live by the Third Amendment, which is so short, I'm just going to read the whole thing. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. It just basically meant soldiers can't come and demand to live in your house.
So I thought I wanted to experience that by offering to quarter troops in my apartment in New York, but only if I gave consent. Like, I would have to have an interview and see if they were cool and then give the consent. So I put several ads on Craigslist saying free apartment, you know, free room in the Upper West Side apartment if you're in the military. And I thought I might be flooded. I was
totally.
But I don't know. I might have been on the wrong part of Craigslist. I only got one response, was from an architecture student from South America, who was not in an army, as far as I could tell.
Oh.
So she did not get quartered. There's actually, someone showed me, there is a, I think it's a TikTok channel or something, which is obsessed with the Third Amendment, the quartering of troops. It's sort of, I think it's a parody of Second Amendment obsessives.
Oh.
So they're all like, they like to like offer quarters and then be like, oh, you want to stay in my house? No, you can't stay at my house. And that's the whole shtick.
I feel like there's a similar thing with the Bible and the Constitution, where people will fight for the death and argue about it, but haven't actually read it.
Yeah, I agree. First of all, it's not very long, so people should read it.
And much like the Bible, the Constitution, people quote it kind of the same way. Like, it's Article 6, Section 2. Like, it has those kind of, with a colon. Like, it just feels right. Biblical to me, the way people use it.
Well, what I realized studying this too is how contingent the Constitution was. Like, it is not etched in stone. It could have gone 1,000 different ways depending on who happened to be drunk that day and had a hangover and missed the convention. And so thinking that this is so sacred and it's the only way it could have been, and that we can't change it. And there is an argument a lot of people on the left make, which I kind of buy, is that the founding fathers would not have been originalists. They would have changed the Constitution, and they did change the Constitution. So let's not treat it with quite such kid gloves. Actually, this is a tweet that I like that I think sums up my philosophy. It said, Governor Morris, who wrote a lot of, like, he did the final draft. He's known as the penman of the Constitution. Governor Morris died of an infection after inserting a whale bone into his penis. I think we can edit the document. That was the tweet. Meaning, these people were not sophisticated in all areas. And I looked it up. He did. He had a urinary tract infection, and he thought he would cure it by inserting a whale bone right in there. And
that story sounds like bullshit. That sounds clear to me that he couldn't get it.
All right, hold on.
he couldn't get it up, and he made up this urinary tract infection story. Because a whale bone is a very specific thing, right?
It does seem weird that he
It's not cranberry juice. It's a whale bone. It's like the biggest animal ever to live on the earth. Their bone in your penis.
I'm not going to speculate about
it. I'm speculating right here.
But yeah, please go ahead. All I know is I think that was a very good way to say, you know, this is 1789.
Well, that's what you prove. People are living under very different circumstances and picturing a very different world when they're writing this thing. And so we have to do a little bit of interpretation to bring people up to where we are now. And that's very contentious, obviously.
Right. Well, one of the historians I read, so I think he used the phrase that, you know, it was a foreign country in 1789.
Yeah. The past is a foreign country.
Yeah. And it is shocking just how different it was.
Well, AJ, it is always a pleasure to talk to you and a pleasure to read your stories. This was so fun. And I hope you do turn this into a book.
Thanks, Joel.
If AJ had come to me for advice, which he should have as a member of the Stunt Journalist Association, I would have told him to focus on the First Amendment. Not the parts of the First Amendment that everyone knows, like freedom of speech and religion. The First Amendment's only 45 words long, but the final 9 words give Americans this awesome right. And it's the right to, quote, petition the government for a redress of grievances. They don't say that you have to have grievances with the government. You can petition the government about any grievance. And I have a lot of grievances I want addressed. First of all, the metaverse. It's just not going to happen. Stop bothering me about it. Second, I get way too many texts. The government should be able to stop people from sending me the first stupid thought that enters their heads. Oh, also, the producer of this podcast cuts a lot of my jokes. Like, last week, I had one about the Holocaust. And as a Jew, I think I have the right to make a Holocaust joke, especially if...
At the end of the show, what's next for Joel Stein? Maybe he'll take a nap or poke around online.
Our show today was produced by Kate McAuliffe and Nisha Venkat. It was edited by Robert Smith. Our engineer is Amanda K. Wang. And our executive producer is Catherine Girardot. And our theme song was written and performed by Jonathan Colton. And a special thanks to my voice coach, Vicky Merrick, and my consulting producer, Lauren Zelaznik. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm Joel Stein, and this is Story of the Week.
I write a column for Mental Floss called The Bad Old Days, and it's all about how horrible the past was, how sexist and violent. And
smelly.
Smelly. That's exactly right. It is disgusting.
Smells.
The past stank.
Every time I see a movie and someone gets a time machine and they start turning the dial to the past, I just want to grab their hand and push it the other way.
That would be interesting if they like got out of the time machine and their first remark would probably be, oh my God.
Oh my, reeks.
I'm going to vomit. Yeah, that would be more realistic.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's 2 decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last 3 seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.